Genesis chapter 37. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to come together in your house. Lord, I pray that tonight it would be beneficial. Lord, I know it's been a help to me in my life. And Lord, I pray that you would just give me the words to say that I can convey what you've laid on my heart tonight. And God, I want to honor you above all. And Lord, I pray that you just bless everything that's said and just guide my words, Lord, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think it's very easy to initially look at Joseph and to think that he's kind of spoiled, quite honestly. I mean, just as a surface, you know, you kind of read the Bible just, you know, across the surface, and it's like, well, he was loved, and his father kind of spoiled him and gave him this nice coat. And honestly, you know, I don't know, a lot of you, I'm safe here tonight. My mom and dad, they flew out to Montana this morning. So I don't have any other family member here that's actually like sibling or parents. So I'm pretty good shape when talking about family tonight. But there's always, you know, for those of you that have siblings, you know, it's, you know, the oldest child is a spoiled one, right? And then the two middle ones, it's like they don't exist. And then the baby gets spoiled too, right? No, I'm kidding. I mean, my mom and dad loved us all. But we always picked up my, on my sister. And we would tell it, you know, that's mom's favorite, right? And not that it was, it just seemed that way to all the rest of us. But there's, you know, there's kind of these jokes. You go to family reunions probably, and it's like, well, they were the baby of the family. And typically, when you say they were the baby of the family, that has one connotation. It doesn't necessarily mean really much about their age or even sometimes their, you know, their standing as far as the sibling order. It's just they were babied as a baby of the family. And sometimes I think Joseph, I kind of look at Joseph as being the babied one of the family, right? And kind of spoiled. But I've gotten to where I love Joseph as far as a figure in the Bible. And Joseph is very much in several ways a type of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he is a type of Jesus Christ. And but there are some things about Joseph, and I'm not just going to talk about Joseph tonight, I'm going to talk about several others. But the Bible does very specifically say that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And the Bible says because he was a son of his old age, but I also believe that there were some attributes about Joseph that made him more beloved than perhaps his other brothers. Okay, and I'm going to look at some things tonight, and it even goes along with the theme that our pastor has chosen for our church this year. And I know it's kind of been, he's been preaching on it some, but you know, for the first half of the year, it's been kind of on the on the back burner just because of everything else that's going on. But I'm going to talk about this topic tonight. This subject is favor. And I believe favor as a Christian or as a, you know, any person is a big deal. And you say, "Bro Chad, we shouldn't play favorites." Well, I agree with that. But quite honestly, most favorites isn't just because, oh, I just picked one person and they're my favorite. Most favoritism is earned. Okay? Most favoritism is earned. And you may say, "Well, Brother Chad, that's just not fair." Well, hang on a second. Now you're sounding like everybody else in our culture, okay? Well, they got a prize, so, you know, to be fair, I should get a prize. Well, what did they do to get that prize, okay? I had a boy on the, and I don't know all the ins and outs. At some point, you just, okay, whatever, on when you're dealing with some bus type stuff. But, you know, a boy was throwing a temper tantrum, flat out temper tantrum. Okay, on Sunday morning, and I had to suspend him from coming to church, okay? Because I'm not going to have a young person hitting my workers and completely disturbing a class. It's just not going to happen, okay? And so I suspended him, and the parents contacted me later, and Well, he said that he didn't get a piece of candy and all the other kids got a piece of candy. Okay, now hang on. You say, well, he should have got it, not if he's not doing what he's supposed to. Okay, and so many times in our culture, you've got a bunch of grown-ups that are throwing temper tantrums because they're not getting what an honest, hardworking citizen is getting. Okay, and listen, you've got a lot of people, okay, your sodomites and lesbians, you know, they throw temper tantrums because they're not getting what people that are doing what is supposed to be done are getting. Okay? Well, it's not fair. It's not equal. No, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. That's not favoritism. Okay? That's getting what you deserve. All right? That's getting what you deserve. You know, folks, and I don't know, we can go long ways down that road. And I'm not, you know, there's a lot going on in our culture today, and I'm pretty blissfully ignorant. I don't get the newspaper. I don't really listen to much news. And quite honestly, unless somebody told me that there was a pandemic going on, I would have just lived my life and been like, man, not very busy in town today, you know? I didn't know what was going on. Like, man, there's a lot of sick people wearing masks. The only time I wear masks when I'm painting. So, anyway. But we live in a society that's driven by the fair police. They want equal rights for everyone without looking at the responsibilities that many times, most of the time, accompany those rights. I encourage you, go back and listen to the message. I don't know, Pastor preached it a year or so ago about your rights or your responsibilities. That was powerful because that sums up a lot of what's going on in our nation. And not just in our nation as a whole, but in individual lives by and far. But I believe that there is something very important in obtaining favor. This year, our theme is well-pleasing in His sight. And honestly, if we could put that, we don't use the term well-pleasing anymore. Okay, you know, when's the last time your dad said, "Man, son, I'm just well-pleased with you." Okay, it's kind of old. But I think we a lot of times, and I know pride is not a good thing, and I hope I can differentiate between the two. Okay, but most of the time when somebody is well pleased with something, they say, "Man, I'm proud of them." Okay, does that make sense? All right. So I think in a lot of ways. Now, we're marching because of our whatever pride. Okay, well that's an issue, and God hates pride. Okay, when it's pride because of, well, this is what I've done. Now that's the wrong kind of pride. But when you're happy with, okay, I think most of you parents, when your child does something good, you'd be like, "Man, I may not tell them this to their face, but I'm pretty proud of them," right? Now, my kids aren't here, okay, right? There again, I'm safe tonight. I ain't got no family here. My wife, so I got to be careful there. But but my daughter, Emily, we got a pig, and it was a full-grown pig. And through circumstances, Brother Levi helped me get this pig, and so I put this pig out behind my house, and I really didn't. I was butchering chicken. I was butchering chickens, and I'm trying to get the canopy done. I've made two trips to Chicago in the last 2 weeks, and just kind of, I didn't have anything really ready. It was kind of a last minute, "Hey, you want this pig?" I mean, I can't turn down a free pig, so I'm like, "Yeah, tell me where it's at. I'll go get it." But I didn't have everything ready for it. And so I stuck it in there, and the biggest mistake I made is the pig got out once, all right? Well, once they're out, they know they can get out. And so I'm like, okay, this is not a good thing. And I was going to set up an electric fence, and I didn't get it set up. And so this pig is out roaming in my driveway and in the woods and all over the place. So my daughter, Emily, I was like, all right, I got to go up to Grandpa's house, and I got the fence run, but I don't have a charger. Well, what good does an electric fence do without? So he's just rooting under the fence and going under it. And I'm like, all right, I got to go to get the electric fence charger. So I go up. Of course, I'm, 300 yards from my dad's house or whatever. So, and I'm too lazy to walk. So I drove my truck up there. And I got the fence charger, and I drove back. Time I got back, and I don't know. I mean, she may have just sat there and watched it. But she had that pig. From one side of my driveway, she had it herded all the way up, and it was sitting in the pen over there. I thought, hey, it's pretty good. I couldn't do that. I mean, I'd be out there with a 22 just shooting and butchering it right there. I mean, I don't work that hard. But you know what? And I said all that to say this. You know what? I was well pleased in the fact that she took the initiative. Now, I don't know what went on. Maybe it was, you know, hellfire and brimstone trying to get the pig in there, but it was in there. You know, I was well pleased. You know, when your kid does something and you know, it's so easy to get frustrated as a parent sometimes with the things that your child doesn't do that you want them to do. And then every once in a while, there's that golden moment when it's like, wow, I didn't even ask them to clean their room. They just did it all by themselves. Well, you know what? That's that moment that you're, good job. I'm well pleased with that, right? Okay? Or you know, I know we don't say I'm well pleased, but I'm proud of that. I'm proud of them, all right? And listen, I think it's important for kids to, you know, I don't think you give them a big head, but when they do something good, hey, good job. I'm proud of you for that. My kids were, we was butchering my chickens, and my kids were out there, and there again, my kids aren't really too afraid of much, and they're out there grabbing their necks, and, you know, and holding their necks down, and it's like, Daddy, is this the way to do it? I'm like, yeah, good job, all right? You know? Now, to most of our culture, you're like, you let your kids do that? And I'm like, you don't? And, but you know what? Hey, I'm well pleased. That's something good. Now, when they disobey, I am not well pleased. And I think our Heavenly Father up in heaven, there are things that we do sometimes, and there are things that we don't do. And you can either gain the favor or the disfavor of our Heavenly Father. Just like your children and young people, as much to you guys as, you know, to everyone, you can earn the favor of your parents. Or you can earn the disfavor of your parents. You can earn the favor of your church family, or you can earn the disfavor of your church family. If you'll notice here in verse number, verse number 2. Look at this verse. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old, okay? 17, that's a young person. Was feeding the flock with his brethren. Okay, he was working. It wasn't like he was being lazy. He was working. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father, what's the next three words? Their evil report. Their evil report. Now, you know, at first, you know, I think because we've been somewhat mind or brainwashed, well, he shouldn't have been a tattletale. Well, if they're not doing what's right, I think somebody ought to let the authority know that they're not doing what's right, okay? Now, you see that in the life of Joseph. But remember later on when Joseph went to check on, wonder why his father sent Joseph to go check on his brothers. I think it was because he trusted him, okay? If I have a young person, let me just give this illustration. If I have a young person, young people, I want you to listen. If I have a young person that I know, let's say I gave them a box of candy, and I say, I want this over at the school building. And I give them that box of candy, and it goes over there, and there's like 10 candy bars missing when it gets over there. Okay? Now, I may not say anything to them, right? I don't have any proof that they took it. But when I have another box of candy to take move someplace, and I have a choice between five people, and one of them is that person, do you think I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to give them a second chance. Well, yeah, I'm all for second chances, but I'm also for giving the person that shows themselves honest, shows themselves a hard work, I'm for giving them the opportunity, okay? And, you know, I think God's the same way. Why would God give, you know, this goes back to tithing and to finance. Why would God give somebody that's a lazy bum, okay? Why would he give them all the benefits of somebody over here that's hardworking? And that's what we want to do. Listen, folks, that's what we want to do in our society. That's what we're trying to do in our society is give somebody that's slaved their whole life and worked their whole life for something and then give it to somebody that all they want is a handout. Well, you're just not being fair. No, it's not about being fair. It's about showing favor to those who deserve that favor. All right, you say, Brother Chad, I don't know. Listen. I think this is evidenced in the Bible, okay? Go to Luke chapter number 2. We're going to chase this thought through the Bible. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 52, the Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus did. All right? Well, you know, God was just showing favoritism. Wonder why. Okay? Go to Matthew. We're in the Gospels. Go to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Well pleased. In today's vernacular, God could have basically said, "Man, I'm proud of you." We wouldn't be doing an injustice to that in the way it's used today. Okay? To say, God looked down and said, I'm proud of him. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 5. Matthew 17, verse 5. "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You know, and I don't know what all, you know, I know we ought to do what is well-pleasing in his sight. But, you know, God had, you know, he gave the parable of the men with the talents, right? And, you know, the one had a certain amount of talents, and he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what that master was saying to the servant? "Good job, and I'm proud of you. You did a good job." You know what he said to the second servant? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Okay? And I want that God to be, if for lack of a better term, well-pleased or proud, all right? Remember when Satan came to God and was asking about Job? Remember that? And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God brought him up, all right? He said, "Hey, look at this guy." You know what God was, I think, with Job? Well-pleased with the way Job was living his life, okay? But Brother Chad, all the bad stuff happened to Job, yes. But look at all the good stuff that also happened to Job, okay? We use the term proud today. I said that. First of all, I want you, this is, I guess, if I had a point, this would be the first point. Number one, we must understand that God sees and man sees. Young people, what you do does make a difference. The way you conduct yourself as even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be good or pure, and whether it be right. Even a child. There's young men right now in our church, and like I said, they're not in here. A lot of them are in Bible club or junior camp right now. There's young men, I've already told my wife, I do construction stuff, so some of you know I do construction stuff on the side. I've already told my wife, I said, when that boy gets big enough to start picking stuff up, I want him to work with me. Why would I say that about a six-year-old? Because they've already started showing themselves with an inclination. You know what? When it's time to work, they're not off goofing around. When their dad says, "Hey, I want you to move these chairs over there," you know what they're doing? They're picking one chair up and hauling it over there. When it's time to pick up after a fellowship, they're breaking tables down. Okay? You say, "Brother Chad, that doesn't matter." Yes, it does. All right, if you want to see some really bad drywall work, all right, if you'll go down in the two cleaning closets down there, Brother Isaac, do you remember doing that? I was like in sixth grade, and you were fourth grade, fifth grade, yeah, me and Brother Isaac, we drywalled those, all right? Brother Charles, we asked Brother Charles. Brother Charles, you know, we wanted to get, it's not that we really wanted to drywall, we just wanted to get out of school, all right? You know, is there anything we can help you with? You know, and I'm sure he's scratching his head and, you know, what are these guys going to do? He's like, here, you can do this. So don't, you know, and the saving grace, at least in the one closet, there's so many shelves in it, you can't see the walls, all right? That's the only thing that saved us. But, you know, listen, he said, Brother Chad, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal that, you know, hey, when you got a work day, young men, you ought to be there. I mean, I know some of you got jobs, and that's fine. You're working at least. But, you know, when you've got something to do at church, you know, that's when you can show up and help. Show up and do, okay? It does matter. God sees and man sees. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, if you want to flip there, it's fine. I can read most of these for you. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord, oh, I'm sorry, verse number 9, 16 verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them, now listen, whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. What? Who is God's eyes? That's interesting. It's an interesting statement. God's eyes are running to and fro, always looking, always searching. What for? For those whose heart is perfect towards him. Okay? He's looking for those people. Why? So he can show himself strong on their behalf. Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 21. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs chapter number 15. Look at verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Job chapter 34. Look at verse number 21. Job 34:21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. There's no place that you can hide from God. Okay? You say, Brother Chad, nobody saw me do this. God did. And God doesn't forget. He forgives. All right? Yeah, but you know, and listen, I know God, Brother Chad, God forgets. God washes all my sin away. Yeah, that's true. And you know, I'm thankful that for the most part, man will forgive. But let me just say this, man doesn't always forget. Okay? Man doesn't always forget. And, you know, I guess I grew up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Shoot, there's ladies in here that had me in the nursery, all right? A lot of you ladies had me in the nursery, okay? And you saw a lot of the stupid things I've done. And, you know, thank God you forgave me. And, you know, Brother Frank and Miss Sheila had me in Master's Club. Oh, my goodness. You know? And there's other people in here that, you know, you've had me in your Sunday school class. But you know what? There's something to giving people chances. But, you know, there's always, sometimes there's those things in the back of your mind that, yeah, you remember? Okay? Young people, it's important to live your life clean. It's important to live your life right. Okay? It is important to do that. God sees and man sees. Brother Chad, it's just, I don't like it when people are always watching. Well, you know what? When God watches, it shows some things. I want to just share this with you. When God and man watch us, it shows us that they care about us. I want you to think about that. When somebody watches you, it shows that they care about you. Okay? When you watch over your children, that shows that you care about them. You know, parents that don't care about their children have no clue where their children are most of the time. Okay? They don't know. I don't. Where are my kids? I don't know. Do you know your kid just ran out on the highway? No, where are they? You know? Okay? Now I know if the kids get away. Trust me. Lydia's starting to crawl right now, and you know, you kind of get past that kid crawling stage, and you know, you've got the baby where it can't go nowhere, and then it goes into the, you know, going up the stairs by themselves stage, and you're like, oh man, what happened there? Psalm chapter 34, verse 15, I'll just read it to you. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know what? When God watches us, yes, does God discipline us? Absolutely. But if God didn't discipline us, okay, it would show that he didn't care about us as much. All right, young people, when your mom and dad get on to you, it's not because, you know, they dislike you. It's because they love you, okay? And I love our pastor. I'm so thankful for the pastor that God gave us, all right? And I think sometimes we take it for granted, the pastor that God's given us, all right? Don't take that for granted. You know, the voice, you say, Brother Chad, he's preaching out against some of this stuff, and he's pushing. Be thankful that our pastor's pushing out, all right? Be thankful he's pushing back on some of this stuff, okay? You know, this is a side note, but the early days of our country, okay, when we were fighting for independence, you know the voices that were some of the loudest in proclaiming the freedoms that we needed were the pastors of the congregations, okay? We need pastors that stand up and proclaim, okay? We were in Chicago, and we showed up on Sunday, and, you know, it's an all-black church, and you've got six white guys sitting there, and it's kind of a weird feeling, but so we show up, and I'm thinking, I've never been to a black church before, okay, and I was kind of excited. I was thinking, you know how they do those, like, the spiritual songs where they start making stuff up as they go, and I was like, man, this is going to be great, and it was really pretty normal. It was like a normal service. The thing that really made me thankful for Blessed Hope, though, and this is completely, just, you know, testimony, I guess, but Wednesday night, he's like, all right, get your pens and papers out. And we were still in work clothes. I got my pencil, you know, 2x4. He's like, get your pens and papers out. And he's like, we're going to start a series on Bible geography. I looked at Samuel, Bible geography. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've looked at my maps like 3 times since I've had this Bible in the back. And I mean, that's kind of Bible geography. And so he starts going through all this stuff about Bible geography. And, you know, his people are, you know, very studiously taking notes and stuff. And he gets done and he says, all right. He said, make sure you study that. You'll have a quiz on it next week. I'm like, a quiz? I was like, I got to get home to Blessed Hope. We don't have quizzes. And we was planning our next trip, and we're like, you know, we went on Thursday, and we told him when we got there, it's like, we would have come yesterday, but we would have all failed your quiz. So we decided not to come instead of have to take the quiz. But anyway, I said all that to say I'm thankful for my pastor. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But you know, God is watching us. God shows that they care about us. We must understand, number two, that what we do does make a difference. Young people, it does matter what you do. It does matter what you say. It does matter that you obey. It does matter that you have the right attitude. Pastor, I think it was 2 Sunday nights ago, talked about the grief that a young person can be to their parents. You know, that's the opposite of this, is when a child is a grief, okay? And listen, it's something that you carry, I think. I'm kind of standing up here treading on ground I don't know about, I guess. But there are young people I love, okay? But when you don't do what's right, when you kind of throw away everything that you've been brought up to believe, and you kind of set it off to the wayside, I think as a parent or as anybody that's invested, it's not just a parent, and parents feel it most, but there's that person that's invested, I guess. You still kind of feel that grief. But you know, the opposite of that is when a child is well-pleasing in their sight. My dad's not here, and he really wanted to go with me to Chicago. And I love taking my dad places. About anybody I ever talked to always tell me, he said, hey, you don't know how good your dad is. And I guess I've always just taken my dad for granted. But, you know, I may not do everything right in life, but there's always dad that, you know, if nobody else cares about what you did, if dad looks at it, and my dad's real quiet. Like, he'll sit all Sunday afternoon at the lunch table. Brother Levi used to come over before he got married, and, you know, then he's off on his own thing. But Brother Levi used to come over, and he can tell you, dad will sit at the supper table, and he won't say 10 words in like an hour and a half. He'll just listen, eat his food, have some more taters, you know. So when I do something, my dad's got a thinking mind. Most of you probably know that. I mean, he's semi-brilliant, I guess, but he looks at it and he's like, man, that's good. You know what? I don't care what anybody else says. If he's like, hey, you did a good job on that, that means a lot. You know, when we get to heaven, even the things that dad, the person that I probably have as a hero here in this life, even if dad doesn't think much about it, I think we're all going to stand before God and we don't care about everyone else's opinion. We're going to look in his eyes and we're going to want him to say, I am well pleased. I am well pleased with what you've done. And you know what? There's been a lot of things in my life that honestly, I don't have to stand before God and God's going to be like, man, kind of disappointed there. And that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. It does matter. It does make a difference. Proverbs chapter 20. Let me read that verse real quick. I think I already read it, actually. Proverbs chapter 20. It was the verse, I quoted it. Even a child is known by his doings. Verse 11. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Young people, it does matter. Pastor talked about the grief. It's also true that a parent can be very proud. And I want you to take that in the right sense. And I think you understand what I'm talking about. You can be very proud. You can be very well pleased with your child. And young people, you ought to strive for that. You ought to strive for that. If you have a young person that obeys and one that disobeys, let me just ask you, if you're out someplace and you've got, you know, one of your children is disobeying and you've got one over here that's, it's usually the baby that's doing the best for whatever reason. But no, I'm kidding. But they're over here and they're doing a really good job and, you know, they're sitting. And it's always my kids are, they're always very quick to point out, Mommy, did you see what I did? All right. Yes, and I also saw what you didn't do. But if you have one that's obeying and one that's disobeying, if you're going to reward something, which one do you reward? Okay? This is very simple. Okay? But sometimes as an adult or as a teen, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. All right? I think Joseph in some ways earned that favor from his father. Why do you say that, Brother Chad? Because that wasn't the only time he did it. He also earned the favor of Potiphar. He earned the favor of the jailer. He earned the favor of Pharaoh. He had a life record of earning favor. Okay? And he wasn't compromising to do it, folks. He was doing what was right. And because he was doing what was right, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Why? Because he was doing what was right. Thirdly, we must choose who we want to have favor with. Now, this is huge. Joseph could have had favor with his brothers, but it would have cost him the favor of his father. If Joseph would have just done whatever his brothers did, his father wouldn't have sent him to go check on them. Does that make sense? If Joseph could have had the favor of Potiphar's wife, what would that have done with his favor with God? Potiphar's wife wanted him. What better way to make her happy than to do whatever she wanted? Now, it would have been very short-lived, like all sin is, but it would have given him a moment of favor with the boss's wife. But he said, no, I can't do this. And what did he say? and sin against God. Okay? He couldn't sin against God. He would lose favor with God if he had favor with her. Joseph could have been like all the other prisoners. Now, I don't know, Brother Brian. I've never been in prison. You've been all, most of your life. But you know, there's a lot of prisoners that, and I'm just guessing because I could kind of see this. There's a lot of prisoners that don't like the staff of the prison. I would say by and large, most of them don't like the staff of the prison. Okay? Now, Joseph could have probably been like any of the other prisoners and done whatever he could to make the jailer's life miserable. But I don't see that. I mean, at some point the jailer said, here, you take care of it all. I'm just leaving you in charge. Why? I think Joseph earned the favor of the jailer. People do, for the most part, do what they do to please someone. We all do what we do to please someone. We wear the clothes we wear to fit in with someone. Listen, folks, when you see somebody that's kind of, I don't know, looks like they came off a cartoon strip, you know what I mean? Which is what really, honestly, folks, that's what they pretty much look like, is something off a cartoon strip. You know, Scooby-Doo or, you know, whatever. Do you know, honestly, they're just trying to fit in with some group. But their group's not the same group as my group. Right? But in their culture, in their circle, they're probably pretty cool. Okay? You seen those people that's got those ear things? That they stick like an expanding, I don't know, looks like a plumbing ring or something in there. I use those in my, I got a plumbing tool that it sticks, it's expansion, and it does that, makes it bigger. And there's ears stuck like that. And it's pretty amazing. I've thought of all kinds of stuff I want to do to them, but I just never have. But you know what? As you look at that, and you're like, man, what is that? But you know, in their group, that was the coolest thing all week was when they came in and said, hey, check out my ears. It was. I said, Brother Chad, what, you know, and why does somebody get a tattoo? Have you thought about it? So they can go show their buddies, hey, look what I got. Mom. What I love is these guys that get, you know, their girlfriend. Hey, baby, look. I had to erase the first three, but you're right here. That's so stupid. But why do they do that? Why do they put, you know, they've known her for 3 days, and they go to the tattoo parlor, drop $600, and they write their name on their arm forever. For the life, they write their name on their arm because they want her favor. Why do people take the first puff of a cigarette? Because honestly, who in their right mind? Think about this. Who in their right, I mean, I've burnt leaves before in my yard, and you know, the wind changes, and it is, you know, you die. And then somebody's like, hey, this has got some leaves in it. I think I'm going to take a puff of it. Now, and honestly, and I know probably some of you in here have you know, there's been times in your life, maybe you've smoked, but what drove you to that? Somebody said, hey, you want to try it? Nah, I don't do that. Oh, come on. And to fit in, to be a part of a group, to earn their favor, you do something that really doesn't make any sense. Okay? We all do different. People wear weird things. Why? Just to fit in. People call her their, listen, I've got two girls, and they're great girls. One of them is one of those potential jewels or pearls of great price. And she'll sit right up here, and she's got bright purple hair. I got another one. Half of it's green, and like a third of it's, I think, white. I think that one went wrong. And then the other part's like pink. Brother Chad, why would they do that? Honestly, folks, they're just trying to fit in with a certain group of people. Doesn't make them a bad kid. They're just crying for help. They're crying for, hey, would you please give me some attention? That's honestly what they're doing. Okay? But it's from the wrong group of people. Miss Kaylin, all right, Miss Jasmine. You know the difference? The difference is when they started changing, because they both came on buses a long, long time ago. Brother Val and Miss Deborah started picking Kaylin up a long time ago. Okay? But you know the difference in their lives is when they stopped looking for the favor of this group and started looking for the favor of this group. And it changed their whole wardrobe. That's what changed it. Okay? It does matter who you have favor with. People change the way they do things to please someone. Wouldn't it be nice if we could look and see, viewing your life through the eyes of God, how does God look at this? Would I be pleasing to God? Would God be proud of me doing this? Or would God be like, man, he's not being a very good testimony for me. He's not fitting in with my, I hate to say group, but he's not portraying himself as being a Christian very well. Either by the things he says or by the things he does, whatever. Being well-pleasing, number four, this last one, being well-pleasing in the eyes obtains the favor. Well-pleasing in the eyes obtains the favor. What's a favor? You know what a favor is. When you do something for somebody, or my son Micah. This is Micah, my wife's, oh yeah, there she is. I don't even know where he got this. He'd come up to me and say, Daddy, can you do me a favor? Depends on what it is. Can you do me a favor? I don't know where he got it. I probably say it all the time or something, but he said, can you do me a favor? What is that? Can you do something for me? Can you bestow extra whatever? Usually it's money. Can you bestow extra to me? All right? That's what favor is. You know what is a, you know, everybody, a party favor, you know, you ladies that do the Christmas banquet and you do all the little, they call them favors, okay? You know what that is? It's something that you're giving to somebody, okay? It's basically a gift. What was Joseph's favor? A coat of many collars. And then later on, what was it from Pharaoh? Rule of a good part of the kingdom. Why? Because he was well-pleasing in the eyes of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gave him favor. Okay? Being well-pleasing in the eye obtains the favor. And honestly, folks, just for a practical, young people, this may be very selfish and self-centered, but you ought to just do it for your own benefit. I'm just being honest with you. Why in the world would you buck up against your mom and dad and go completely against what they want you to do? Because I'm my own man. Yeah, you can go live out on the street if you want. And I am being dead serious. If you think you can do everything, or what about the young person that says, I want to try to please my mom and dad. As a parent, I am much more likely to give favor to my child. And I think I don't see how God's any different. Wouldn't God give favor to the children that obey him? What about Esther? What about Esther? Have you thought about that? How did Esther save her entire nation? Because she found favor in the eyes of the king. You know, she goes in and she's scared to death, so she dresses herself up real pretty. Listen, girls, ladies, honestly, you know, if you're going to go ask your husband something, all right, you know, look, at least look nice doing it, okay? You say, Brother Chad, that's stupid. It ain't stupid, all right? That's smart, all right? My wife, she dresses all nice and does her hair up. She got my favorite meal cooked. I come in the door, and I'm like, what do you want? No, I'm kidding. She does it most of the time. But seriously, you know, Esther comes in. She's like, oh, king, would you come? You know, she dolls herself all up, looks real pretty, and you know, she can lose her life right here. And she comes in and the king's, you know, he holds out his scepter. Why? Because she hadn't taken a bath in 6 days and was all ratty looking? No, I think he was like, oh, she's cute today. Come on up here. You say, Brett Chad, that's not in the Bible. It's pretty close. You say, Brett Chad, listen, you teach kids. You got to, don't tell me that wasn't what was going on through his head. Okay? Because any guy in here knows that's what was going on in his head. All right? And he says, come on up here. Let's talk. She's like, all I wanted was just for you to come eat supper. I'll fix your favorite meal. Oh, that all you wanted? Well, yeah, that's all I wanted. Okay, sounds good. Oh, and can you bring Haman? I really want him to come. Oh, yeah, well, I'll have him come. So they go to the banquet, and she fixes the nicest meal he's had in a long time. I mean, it's great, what he wanted. And she's all pretty and everything, and he's like, oh, man, I'm really glad I married her. Well, what do you want? I will give you anything up to like half the kingdom. He's like, oh, dear, would you just come to supper again tomorrow? Whoa, yeah, this stuff. This is good. And can you bring Haman? Well, sure, I'll bring Haman. So Haman, you know, at this point, Haman's like, man, prettiest lady in the country. She wants me to come to supper. Big stuff. So the next night, you know, he's there eating, and they're eating, and Haman's over there indulging himself. And the king's like, Esther, I'll give you anything up to like half the kingdom. She's like, oh, would you? Would you really? She's like, absolutely. She's like, well, somebody's trying to kill me. Do what? Who would lift their hand against such a precious thing? She's like, he would. Now, you don't think that's what happened. And they hung the guy on his own gallows. Okay, and then to boot, Haman, I mean, he showed a bit of idiocy here. You know, then he goes over to her and like falls, you know, at her feet and starts begging her. And then that, you know, that did it. Say, Brother Chad, why'd you tell that? Because a young lady knew that she needed the favor of a king to save herself and her whole people. Favor is important, but favor can also be a bad thing if from the wrong group of people. Remember the story of Herodias that danced before Herod? She too got a man's favor, but it was for the wrong purpose. And very quickly, a man's life was ended, and it was for the wrong purpose. And you know what? It was very short-lived. Yeah, that pleasure was there for a season, but anything with sin is there for a season. And young people, the world's going to offer you all the favors in the world. Young men, a young lady's going to offer you her favor for a short season. Young ladies, a young man's going to offer you his favor for a short season. I talked to a man this morning, and his daughter is in that situation. Scared to leave the guy. They're not married. Scared to leave the guy, but they get married, it'll be the worst thing she's ever done. Young ladies, you're inbred with a security thing, and you're more afraid of being loose or whatever, okay, than having a relationship that's a wrong relationship, okay? Trust God, and don't give favors to people that's just going to, you know, throw you away. All right? Save yourself. Young men, save yourself. All right? Don't throw you. What you have is the most valuable thing that anyone in this world has. Okay? And not just in your purity, but also your heritage. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Favor. Is what I'm doing, most importantly, favorable, well-pleasing in his sight? Young people, is it well-pleasing in your parents' sight? All right? Listen, I want to be a good employee. All right? And I know pastor's my employer, but I want to do what he wants me to do. All right? I want to, I'm glad he did that. Okay? Church members, we should be well-pleasing in our pastor's eyes. Okay? I don't like it when pastor, I don't know, he gets that look in his face when something is breaking his heart. I don't ever want to be that one that breaks his heart. Okay? You said, Brother Chad, he's just a man. Yeah, I know, but we've looked at several other men that this is applied to, all right? Young people, it does matter. Adults, it does matter what we do. It is well-pleasing. Is what we're doing well-pleasing? Can God look down and say, man, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of what they've done. It's good moments when my kids, and you all know this, that are parents, it's a good moment when, and you may not even say anything, but when you see something your child does and it's like, that was good. But in equal terms, is it heart disheartening when you see them do the opposite? So let's, in every way, let's be well-pleasing, most importantly, in the eyes of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the many, many examples of this in your word. Lord, we know that Jesus was well-pleasing in your eyes. He was well-pleasing in the eyes of man. And God, I believe he had a good reputation. He had carried himself well. And God, I pray that you would help me to be better at being, knowing that your eyes are in every place, beholding both the evil and the good. Help me to be better at loving you and obeying you. Help me to be well-pleasing in your eyes. Help our church congregation, Lord. I pray that this year we would just do everything we can with the thought that, what does God think about this? How does God see this? And is it well-pleasing in his eyes? Lord, I pray for our young people, God. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray for our children that are away tonight and will be coming in shortly. I pray that you just help them to develop in their heart a desire to be well-pleasing to their parents and to you. God, I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.